It was hard even for Jesus' own disciples yet to believe, let alone those who knew his family and where he grew up with. And besides him, they saw him as a rabbi because he had been doing some teaching. But now Jesus began to say some pretty unbelievable things, at least unbelievable to the rational mind or the Jewish mind or anybody else's mind. So as we traverse through these weeks of the lectionary and the little clips in the dialogues of Scripture about Jesus being the bread of life, we recognize that the bread is a metaphor for the incarnation of God manifested in human form, known as Jesus, the Son of God, coming down from heaven for the benefit and the sustenance of saving God's people from their unfilled spiritual hunger and deficit. So ever since mankind thought to go without God beyond the garden, something of then vitality was missing, and Jesus has now come to finally fulfill it and to return us to the fold. The Gospel of John emphasizes Jesus' divinity more than any other gospel in the Bible, although they all profess Jesus' divinity. But John especially reveals many of the metaphors that Jesus uses to define himself. And this very long interchange between Jesus and his contemporaries can't be any plainer, at least not for a metaphor. And as this disturbed everybody sometimes, even many of his closest friends so much, that many of them start to, go away. They even wanted to take him out and kill him, because they thought he was blaspheming. But in the scene today, I always like to put yourself in with your mind. We got a beautiful mind that we can imagine things. And put yourself in the picture when Jesus is there teaching. Because it is a scene, and we're seeing them talking among themselves, complaining in disbelief at the mockery of his claim. And then Jesus called them out, verifying just who he is. Hard to believe? Yeah, it is. You think. It's hard to wrap your head around. Try knowing his parents back then. And yet Jesus' message is clear to everybody. I am, he said. Remember the I am from Moses? I am the living bread that come down from heaven. Or in literal terms, I am God incarnate, sent by the Father to spiritually feed and nourish whoever is willing to acknowledge God and partake of the gift of salvation. Jesus said, you can have the gift of salvation through me. And then he adds this description dealing with the importance of our response, our acknowledgement, our head, the heart, our statement of faith, our belief in he and who he is. And it becomes our first step of faith towards claiming God's gift of eternal life. So whoever believes in him has eternal life, Jesus said. And then they went on to say, well, about our ancestors. And yeah, Jesus said they demanded physical substance. They weren't ready for the spiritual things. He's talking about them when they left Egypt out in the wilderness. They weren't ready for spiritual things. They wanted manna from heaven. I am now that manna for you. God needed to send me the true food, the way. Remember, we were called the way before they were called Christians, because Jesus is the way and the life. The way, the truth, and the life of food. God incarnate. He said, my name is Jesus. Or better, as Jesus later would answer, I am the spiritual substance of healing and the wholeness and eternal life. The fulfillment of all that God intended for us as his creation. If only we can believe that is and acknowledge who Jesus is. Now, throughout this long dialogue in the scriptures and all of his final teaching with his own disciples, Jesus actually details his expectation for discipleship. Or I should say, God's expectation for a loyal covenant participant. For a loyal covenant participant, for this, it's about relationship. It's about our role in a new and final covenant that God has given to us through Christ. And he goes on to tell us that our first step is belief. Our second step is to abide. And our third is to get on board as a servant and continue his mission. So I want to look at really what that means. In a sense, Jesus has given his disciples a kind of an equation. At least I like to think of it that way. It's an equation. It also helps us understand and to remember the substance of God's eternal gift. Now, I call it A equals A. So are you ready for the secret? It's really quite easy. I always like to turn things out to really what they need. So the A is acknowledgement. The second A is attunement. And the third A is alignment, magnified by God's infinite power. And the last part of the A's are actualization. Now, we always want to start with acknowledgement and anything that we commit to. And in this case, it's about Jesus. And we must first, without a doubt, acknowledge who Jesus is. And without that first step, we really can't get any further in our faith. Faith and the removal of doubt. Seeing Jesus for who he is and what he has to offer is non-negotiable to the kind of discipleship that Jesus requires. And we are modern-day disciples. But we must go further than that, and Jesus will continue to talk about this as he continues his dialogue through the coming weeks of Scripture. And the next step is attunement. And we must tune our hearts to hear Jesus' voice. That became reality to me. Not only did we have the storm, and I went out to move my truck, and the starter went out. As soon as I hit the key, it went zing. So I couldn't get it fixed until later in the week. And Trevor and I went down and brought it home. And on the way home, I pushed the button on radio to get my favorite radio station. And it was nothing but static. Because he had taken the battery cables off to replace the starter. And it wiped out all the memory. So I had to tune it in to that station that I wanted. I digress. All important. And he leaves his disciples in person and sends instead the Holy Spirit. So we must tune in to the Spirit of Christ around us in our lives and in the world we live. And we must abide in him and he in us. We must allow our spirits to resonate to his voice. We must raise our awareness of God's intention for our lives and listen to the direction of the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's like tuning in that radio or taking a tuning fork and trying to get things to be in tune with that tuning fork. We know that. He gave us that. And yet another metaphor that the one shepherd's voice, his voice, they know his voice and they will follow his voice. So once you get tuned into that, you'll be able to hear his voice. And then we have the scriptures to back up. It's amazing. We begin then to pay attention to him. Listen to him. Follow him. Identify with him and resonate with him and in sync to his will for us. Only then are we ready for step three, alignment. And we must align ourselves with Jesus' purpose and mission. And once we have faith in Christ, believe in who he is, and resonate our lives with his identity of grace and power, we must constantly and intentionally then align ourselves with that, what he would have us to be and to do. We were all created to be in relationship with God and to be in tandem with God's mission for our created world that we live in. And it's for everyone. Jesus said he didn't want any to be lost, all to be saved. So this is our first directive from time to time in our garden days. We all know how easy to get out of alignment with God and what God intends for us. It's so easy to be led in other directions and even to the opposite ways that he would want us to go. Even the Apostle Paul struggled with this. He said, I mean to do one thing, but I end up doing another. Even try to walk perfectly in a straight line. they do that just because they stop you in traffic and they suspect it, and then you want people walking. It's hard to do sober, let alone, wait for that when they get, Yeah, whatever, what I mean. But how long can you keep that up? When we intentionally keep aligning our hearts with God, we take yet another step in the right direction. Here's a hard one. Love God and love each other. You know how hard it is to love somebody you don't like? But we're commanded to love one another. And we need to do that. We don't only have to agree with them or agree with what they like, but we need to love them. So easy, yet so hard. Not one of these three steps is a piece of cake. But alignment can feel especially hard, especially staying a course. But there's a built-in solution to this within our own equation. And that's where God comes in. As Jesus tells us several times, alone we can do nothing. But when we abide in Him, we can do anything. Our efforts alone are not enough. They will never suffice. But I love the buts and the is. But when we put our faith in Christ, acknowledge Him, attune our hearts to Him, align ourselves with His mission for our lives, because we all have a mission and a purpose, doing the best that we know how to do, then God and Jesus, because they are one, will multiply our efforts by a thousandfold or more, just as He did with the bread and the fish. God, to the infinite power, Jesus to the rescue. Then only in them will our salvation and eternal life be realized in our humanness and actualized in the way that God intended. And I think we all need a God infusion. So we all get dry. A Jesus infusion. A Holy Spirit infusion in our life. We spend a lot of time in Holy Spirit school to make us aware and understand the third person of the Trinity and that relationship that we all individually have with the Holy Spirit. We can't do true life without help, like Don Tracy gave us help in order to get power back so we didn't lose our freezer food and all that kind of stuff. And we can't do life without help. We can't do it without God. And I think this is what the Reformers realized of many, many years ago, starting with Martin Luther. We can't do this on our own, not even one of these steps I'm talking about, and God never intended that we should. For our salvation is not based on our efforts, our measurements, our works, or our achievements. Our salvation is based on the willingness to trust and have faith in God, who says who He is and what He is and how He is and how we should have that relationship. But it's a choice, and we got to make it. We make it to be in covenant with God. When we trust in Jesus and attune to His voice and get in line behind Him, as He instructed Peter, remember old Peter? We align ourselves to His purpose, and God will do the rest. So here we go, little review. Acknowledgement, attunement, alignment, and magnified by God's infinite power equals realization and actualization of our situation that we as humans live in this world. Now, the Christian faith is not a one-sided faith. It's not based on how well we appease the gods or draw their favor from our work or our good behavior. Our faith is based on a covenant relationship that God cherishes between God and God's people, in which we step forward and God lifts us up. And Jesus tells us a story that we've heard a thousand times, I'm sure. And that's the prodigal son. Travis, when we did the Hurt, Hang-Ups, and Habits series, did a little segment of the prodigal son. And it's interesting how the prodigal son story is different for everybody. It's amazing, but it's all the same for everybody. The prodigal son, a teen who runs off and squanders his father's money. Then he humbles himself and repents and returns home, expecting nothing and willing to serve. His father receives him gladly and wraps his arms around him and throws a party. So when we turn to God, God lifts us up. When we turn to Christ, we receive the grace of God, and that grand feast begins, the supreme celebration. And it is a celebration, because the Bible says that angels in heaven, every time somebody repents and comes to him, the angels rejoice. So it's like a big party in heaven along with a big party for yourself, because it's a reason to celebrate when you accept Christ in your life. And another sheep has been found. The shepherd, the good shepherd. Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice. And he's always looking for his sheep. Only when we accept exactly who Jesus is. Hard to believe? Yeah, maybe. Worth believing? Yep, betcha. And may you this day acknowledge Jesus. If you haven't already done it, or if you drifted away, come back like the prodigal. Because God is your Savior, and then put your faith in him. If you certainly can't put your faith in a government or a man or a best friend, put your faith in the one who created you, the one who knows you the best. That's why Jesus is the perfect intercessor. Because not only did he come to this world through the birth canal, because he died to get through the prophets and they killed the prophets. He said, how can I do this? How can I communicate with my creation? I know. I'll become one like him. How did he do it? Through the Holy Spirit. And how did he do it? Because of the Virgin Mary. He communicated with her. The Holy Spirit said, Mary, you're going to conceive. She said, how can I conceive? I've never been with a man. You're going to conceive with the gift of the Holy Spirit. What a joy. And then he grew in wisdom and stature, experienced everything that we experience, up to and including death. And the devil said, I've got that old boy now. No. Third day he was raised from the dead, seen by hundreds, and continued to break that bondage that Satan had over all of us creation with the sin. But he broke that bondage through the death, the burial, the resurrection, and more important, he's coming again. Amen. So our wish, I guess, or our what we'd like to do as the body of Christ is to continue to encourage one another in this faith relationship, and that allows you to align your will to his purpose and participate in his mission. And then with that, I pray that you may know the glory, the magnitude of God as Jesus supersizes your life. And now going forward, may you be revealed with that beautiful promise that is yours as a disciple of Christ, a child of the living God. Peace be with you, and Christ's presence be yours. In Jesus' name, amen.